Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Dan Baer's interview with the writer and director for the film Close, Lucas Stone.
Est-ce que je peux poser une question? Est-ce que vous êtes ensemble?
Mais pourquoi tu dis ça?
Parce que c'est des temps de coup.
Enfin, je sais pas.
Bah, on s'est rapprochés parce qu'on est meilleurs.
Sûr et certain.
Quelque chose. Dis-moi.
Welcome everyone to the Next Best Picture podcast, where we are talking with Lucas Don't, the director and writer of the new film Close. Lucas, how are you and where are you these days?
Hi everyone, I'm very happy to be on this podcast. I'm a little bit everywhere all at once. We were in Iceland, and now I'm in New York presenting our film, doing some screenings, and then we're going to Toronto afterwards.
Fantastic. Close has had a wonderful life on the festival circuit. I was lucky enough to see it at NewFest, the New York LGBTQ festival, and I tell you, it hit me on a very deep personal level. This story, I think for a lot of people, it sends us back in time in our minds, thinking back to when we were kids and our own friendships that we had at that time. So I have to ask, you know, when you were the age of these young boys in the film, did you feel this kind of pressure that they feel societally about some of your friendships?
Yes, most definitely. I think I started at the same age as the characters. I started to fear intimacy. I started to take more distance from my male friends because I understood that in this society, that language of tenderness and of emotional connection so often is one that we don't link to masculinity. And so, yes, I was someone who pushed away and who was pushed away. And I think that many people will recognize themselves in that as human beings going through friendships in life. I think so often we feel heartbreak connected to friendship. It's a lot of the times a feeling expressed when we talk about romantic relationships. It's not always expressed when we talk about friendships. But yeah, I think we live in this society where young men growing up understand that there's certain things valued, like independence, being more distant with the emotions, being competitive, and that we don't always value their or listen to our their deep desire for emotional connection. And we end up actually creating this epidemic of loneliness because of it. And I really wanted to speak about that. First of all, I wanted to show a friendship that I think we so rarely see on screen. One that is intimate, sensual, feels like a love story, because that is what that friendship at that age feels like, a love story. But then also show what happens when all these pressures and societal expectations arrive, and I mean, I guess when brutality enters the frame.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned brutality. In one of the sort of markers of childhood and growing up in the film is the lead, Leo, joining a hockey team, which is a pretty brutal sport, constantly getting slammed into the boards and falling down on the ice. I thought that was a very interesting choice because the uniform is so much like armor and you're a part of this team, but in this much gear and in this helmet that you have to wear, it also feels isolating. Was that a very purposeful choice in choosing that as the sport that he would go into, that he would be attracted to?
Yes, I think the costume came first. Mm-hmm. I think when we thought of that ice hockey costume, that is really one where you disappear in, you know, it's this suit that with this mask and there's this rail even in front of the face. We really saw the possibility through a visual to express someone who wants to disappear in a group, someone who wants to put on that armor like those other boys. This was something that really intrigued me, like as an image that you know, that very fragile childhood face in that mask of the ice hockey costume. But also I think it in a film in which one of the themes is also a feeling of guilt and grief, we felt like the idea of having a character with an armor on through which nothing can enter and nothing can exit anymore, and this person all of a sudden has to keep everything inside of that costume and can't express it anymore. I feel like it was a beautiful cinematic representation of that feeling. And I think then also, of course, next to that, the sport that comes with it, the movement, the choreography, but also very much linked to that brutality, you know, the ice, the sounds of the ice, the ice ring. It's all very much in contrast with, for example, the flowers of this film, like the nature, the beauty of color, the fragility. And I think that when we started to write, it became clear to us that the dramaturgy of this film would be a part, on the one hand, of fragility and one of brutality, and that the brutality would slowly come in and corrupt the fragile language of the beginning.
Yeah, that fragility and brutality, it felt in a lot of ways, you titled this film, at least in English, Close, but the story of it in many ways is about, you know, Leo pushing away his best friend. And it did feel like the film, the style of it, however you went about filming it, it manages to do this as well. It sort of like pulls the audience in close while at the same time pushing them away. And I'm curious, how did you be able to find that balance as a director where you have this brutality and the sort of push against the audience without alienating them completely?
I think it's about finding a sort of, I would say finding a choreography of movement, not only between the characters, but also movement between us and the characters as an audience member, trying to be able to convey emotions, so often very linked to implosions, because I think this is very much a film about things that happen on the inside, you know, the bruises on the inside rather than on the outside. So on the one hand, you want to be close to expression and faces because they are the way to exteriorize that idea of implosion. But on the other hand, you want to find the right distance when it comes to emotion. And speaking of these very big emotions linked to life, like there's life and death. So it's like the big themes of life. But how do you speak of them in a way that feels engaging, but at the same time restrained, and feels like the right balance between feeling and looking. And so I think when we write, we try to balance those things. We try to find the melody and try to play with the volumes. I feel like in the second half of this film, cutting from very emotional scenes to this desire of the character to continue in this very physical arena and to go and to try to continue represents very much what we all do in life. Like sometimes we feel a wound, but we continue. Like we try to go through life and so often bury that wound inside of us, but then it will always resurface somehow. And I felt like that was finding that expression, which is also so very much about stagnation and movement and the contrast between them, was for me a representation of grief.
Yeah, I even now, like thinking back on the film, and it's been a little while since I've seen it, there is that, like you were saying, there is this constant grief that is sort of is underneath everything in that second half. And Eden Dambrin, the face, how he is able to, that, like you were saying, give, let everything that is inside out in very controlled amounts is kind of incredible. Can you talk about how you found him, because this is his film debut, and how you went about directing him and the rest of the children to get these such emotionally rich performances out of such young performers?
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Well, when I cast young people, I always am very involved myself from the beginning. So together with our casting director, who then also ended up to be our child coach on set, we went to all the schools in Brussels, around Brussels, in Antwerp, in Ghent, and we invited all the human beings from that age category that wanted to do a casting. And also we went looking for people that did spark, you know, that we felt like could be close for the characters. That ended us with like 580 boys that we saw over the course of a summer.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. I could have made a lot of films because there was a lot of talent and a lot of good energy. But then, you know, sometimes life has strange ways. Because I was taking a train from Antwerp to Ghent and I was listening to music and I look next to me and I see this young angel talking to his friends. And I was completely mesmerized by his expression, by his eyes. I felt like there was already a world hiding behind them. And I thought, I'm going to regret if I don't ask this boy to do a casting. So I ended up speaking to him and asking if he was interested in cinema. His mother read the script and decided he could come to our castings. And from the very first moment that he arrived, he surprised us constantly. And what was especially so interesting about him is that he came in one of the groups that Gustav came in by coincidence, and they had this immediate...
Oh, Gustav from Girl?
No, Gustav.
Oh, Gustav from this movie.
Yes.
Ah.
And they had this instant, like, they had this instant chemistry. Like, it was possible, it was clear from the beginning that this horizontal collaboration between them would be absolutely possible. And I feel like in a film that is so much about the connection between two young human beings, we also needed to find two actors for whom that connection would come organically. And I think they really very much helped each other also in arriving at those performances that they arrive at. Of course, we worked with them for over the course of 6 months in order to build comfort, confidence, and intimacy. And slowly getting to that point where they were ready to film this. But they are two young, incredibly intelligent human beings.
It definitely comes through in their performances. They feel, you know, what the phrase is, wise beyond their years. That's very much what these performances feel like. And to have gotten such depth out of them. Did you spend time talking with them about this relationship and if they had ever felt that way in their own life? Or was this just like, look at the script and talk about what is in the script with these characters? How did they come at this with you?
Yeah, they read the script before the last phase of casting, because I didn't want it to be only about us choosing them. But for me, it was also important that they chose us, that there was this resonance with what was on the pages. And we talked, first of all, about friendship, because that is the very essential relationships in their lives right now. They have been feeling heartbreak because of friendship. Also, they know that feeling. And then, of course, we also talked about masculinity and the pressures of that. They are two young men growing up right now, so they do know what that's like. They do encounter those pressures. They do feel them. I think what is so special about that age, that brink between childhood and puberty, is that when we hit puberty, life tells us to become performers also somehow. Like, we understand the codes of groups and popularity, and so we want to belong. But as they were not there yet, they were still so very much connected to the heart. And like, everything came really also from what there was this sort of openness and authenticness to the way that they reflected on what was on the page that was incredibly beautiful and inspiring. But yes, we talked a lot about the teams and about the characters, and bit by bit, they built the confidence that they really knew what this film was about, and then that it was actually also quite close to them.
It's really beautiful to hear. Time is almost up, but I wanted to ask before we go, I think there is a sense amongst a lot of people that today's children and teens have so many more options open to them in terms of how to express themselves than maybe we did when we were children, and they're freer to express themselves and in a society that is more accepting. But we still hear countless stories of school bullying, of young people like Remy committing suicide. Do you think that we really have made such big strides forward that these children can feel comfortable? Or do you think we're kind of kidding ourselves and children are just can be naturally cruel, especially in puberty, and we still have to prepare kids for how to deal with that?
Well, I think we have this also through social media and through having this window on the world. I feel like there's the possibility of diversity and the possibility of identity that is presented to young people from very early on, which is something incredibly hopeful and rich. And I sense that around me when I talk to young people and when I see young people. Then on the other hand, I'm also confronted with a world where, I mean, first of all, there is so much brutality, but also where there is anti-LGBT propaganda, where you feel like when I look at the States in some schools, teachers have to be informed about parents have to be informed about the sexualities of some of the kids. When I look at schools in Brussels and a survey that they did recently on how safe people feel with another sexuality, and those numbers are really not good. I think we still live in a world where we fear femininity, or there is so much homophobia. And so, I mean, I think it's also about keeping and being aware about that. Yes, being hopeful and optimistic for this young generation, but also realizing that there is that violence and brutality that keeps being there. And it's about talking about that. It's about carrying that weight together, I think.
That's really great way to put it. And a great note to end this on. Lucas, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing this film with us. And best of luck to you on your next project.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank everyone on the other team that I can't see on camera right now. It's fantastic talking with you.
They're hiding.
Yes, they are. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Dan Baer's interview with the writer and director for the film Close, Lucas Don't, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Close is now playing in theaters from A24 and is up for your consideration for this year's Academy Awards for Best International Feature Film. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I
hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it. No, right.